100 episodes, that's quite a bit.
I was legitimately shocked when we hit double digits. I was shocked when we hit one. So 100, it's really an honor that people are still listening to us after 100 shows.
Well, and we do the show, yeah, we do it because we have a lot of fun too, but we do it for Rider fans out there listening, and we figured a great way to celebrate this milestone is not to, you know, go back and pat ourselves on the back for 100 episodes like you'd hear other people do, right? We want to give this to Rider Nation and celebrate Rider Nation and remember the Grey Cup championships that we've seen. And we've already looked at 1966, the first one. It's time to look at 1989, and our guest for that is Rider Great linebacker Mr. Dan Rasevich. Dan, thanks for your time.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Now, 89, that was your third year in Saskatchewan. Got here in 87. What made you come here in the first place?
87. So, 86, I played up my option with the Argos, and, you know, I wanted to play. So, you know, I was kind of backing up guys there. I got some playing time. It was mostly special teams, you know, and once you get a taste, like my rookie year, I was a starting middle linebacker my rookie year. So, you know, next year, 86, 87, no, 80, sorry, 85, 86, I was in Toronto. Wanted to play out my option. And I was drafted three times, by the way. I was drafted three times.
How does that happen?
And that's what that whole year, that's how it starts. So so I played out my option. I ended up signing with the LA Raiders with a guy named Chris Woods. He was our wideout when I played in Toronto. And so my first draft was 1984. I was drafted number 13th overall in the draft by Ottawa. So anyways, go to the mini camps with the Raiders, get released. But then there was a dispersal draft before I was playing my option out. And Montreal picked me in a dispersal draft because back then they had that to make the weaker teams a little stronger and pick players. So Montreal had picked me. And then, you know, did the mini camps with the Raiders, came back. I missed most of training camp, went to Montreal, ready to go on our first game. The team folds. And then again, I was, you know, sorry, that was a dispersal draft. And I got picked by Saskatchewan, me and Ridgeway. And the other draft was the equalization draft. And then the first one was the CFL draft.
So that 89 or that dispersal draft from Montreal was pretty good for Saskatchewan to get.
Ridgeway. I think so.
Okay for us, I'd say.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? It was okay. You know, I mean, it was, you know, it was just a crazy time though. Third year, you know, kind of finished my third year, going to my fourth year in the league, and. You know, team folds, get picked up by another team. You know, I've been traveling around a lot. You know, it's Toronto, you know, LA Raiders coming here. It was kind of hectic, eh?
I find it interesting that you look at we're going to be looking at the 07 game next, and there was a big dispersal draft before that that gave us Kerry Joseph. The 89 dispersal draft gave us you and Dave Ridgeway. Interesting how, I mean,
it is.
I didn't really think about that at the time, but that's some key moments in Rider history where.
Some parallels.
The foldings of the other team.
Yes.
That led to our success. Now, 1988, the team made the playoffs for the first time in 11 years. And there's the whole 11 years.
The song.
That's enough, right?
Did we copy the Bears or did the Bears copy us? 11.
So after that year, what was the message going in from John Gregory going into the 89 season, having that first taste of...
Wow.
You know, playoffs.
You know, I just think there was some confidence, you know. I mean, there was a good sense of confidence that, you know, I mean, we had a good team. I mean, I think that was a feeling, you know. We were feeling pretty good about ourselves, really. You know, thinking, hey, you know what? Because I know there was a lot of guys on that team from before. You know, guys had been here a while. And then there's quite a few new guys within the first, you know, first, second, third year type guys. You know, and everybody knew the team hadn't made the playoffs for 11 years. It was like, how does that happen? I was like, holy cow. I mean, that was just mind-boggling, hey? Really? You know? So, obviously didn't want that to happen again. But, and, you know, it wasn't going to happen again. I mean, we just had a couple of great quarterbacks as well, you know, at the same time, which was amazing. I mean, I remember Kent's first game. We were in Hamilton, playing Hamilton the year before. I was like, holy cow. Turned to Albright, I said, we're going to win the Grey Cup.
Seriously, that's a bold statement.
Oh, we were on the side. We were in Hamilton on the sideline. Said, "Holy cow!" And it was just like he just stepped on the field, just took control. Yeah, right from the beginning, you could just see it. Bang. Yeah, you know, and I guess, you know, we were feeling pretty good about 89 as well, and you know, it was kind of. But again, that was a quite an injury riddled season.
And the team kind of have, you know, an average record in 89 for the regular season. But you go in, was there anything during that regular season that kind of stuck out to you that kind of just like propelled you guys that, you know what, we have a legitimate shot at this?
Yeah, because just some of the games we lost, you know, we lost some close games. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, like that one game we played BC here and we had three pass interference plays in a row with no time on the clock. Or basically, I think there was two pass interference plays with no time on the clock. And you lose the game. It's like, oh my goodness, you know? I mean, just crazy, hey?
I know Glenn actually still brings that up. Glenn Suter, yeah. he took the penalty there.
He took the first one, and Albert Brown took the second one in the end zone, you know? And,
And that's just one of those things that just kind of unites you guys even more, right?
Yep, for sure. You know, I think there was, I don't know, confidence. Definitely, you know, confidence for sure, you know? I don't know, first game of the season myself, I blew my knee, not blew it out, but I had a second degree tear, missed 6 weeks. You know, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? First game of the season, second quarter, man. Like, whoa, you know? But I think that, and it wasn't just me, you know, there's a lot of other guys who, through the course of the season, you know, got hurt and, you know, kind of then came back, you know, especially towards the end, yeah.
Now, speaking of the end, you guys walked into Calgary in the West semifinal and pulled up 33-26 victory. What do you remember from that game and kind of, you know, you leading into next week against the Giants in Edmonton? What about that game stood out?
We won the game with some of our backups and some guys kind of not playing totally out of position, but, you know, I look at, you know, say Rob Bresciani. I wish we could get a picture or a replay of that, the catch he had down the sideline. It was incredible. I mean, I'd love to see that again. You know, guys like Brian Walling, James Ellingson, you know, guys throwing blocks downfield. Jeff Bentram, third string quarterback, playing receiver. You know, like playing slot back. You know, but he's in the U.S. College Hall of Fame. So you know what, you should play receiver too. Hey, he goes, I should have won 4 national championships. Yeah. Oh man. You know, I think Wentz went to the same university, I think, as Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So, you know, hey, Jeff just a good athlete, right? So that game was, and also I remember, you know, towards the end of the season, because James Curry, I played with James Curry with the Argos for 2 years as well, and here. So, you know, he came, you know, from Toronto. Yeah, Curry, you know, and he didn't get to play, you know, in those playoff games, but he was definitely a part of what we did during the regular season. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. He was a pretty mean guy.
So you guys beat the Stamps. Mm-hmm. Did you guys stay out in Alberta that week, knowing that you were just
going? No, we came back.
Came back.
I remember us practicing in the cold and the snow outside. You know, we weren't indoors anywhere. You know, nothing like that. I mean, maybe we might have had one practice in the field house, possibly, but. Do you just remember them cleaning some of the snow off the grass and strips and this and that and doing walkthroughs and going through everything and, yeah, kind of getting ready for that game. And again, you know, it was a bit, hey, that game was a lot different in terms of our personnel than it was last regular season game. You know, we had a lot of guys not playing that game. When we played them, kind of got crushed, so to speak. We had a lot of guys not playing that game, you know, starters. You know, and Edmonton's a tough place to play anyways, regardless, you know? Yeah, so.
Yeah, we haven't had a good history in Edmonton going over the years. Now, we do want to look at that game. You guys go into Edmonton, stereotypical David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
I know, that's a game that Edmonton should win 99 times out of 100 on paper. They were the CFL juggernauts that year. How did you go into Edmonton? and come out with a win. What was it about that team?
Well, I think we definitely had a lot of other players return, you know, from the injured list, you know, even from the semifinal game. And I think the big thing, too, is we, you know, the big thing was, I guess, you know, we put in a different package as well. You know, we put in the safety blitz package, you know, and it seemed to really throw them off. It really did, hey, like it was crazy, you know, and then we were mixing it up, you know, so they didn't know if it was coming or going and, you know, type of thing, hey, you know, because, you know, hey, we went down early, right? We were down by 10 pretty quick, you know, so, but then just, you know, like again, momentum change, you know, and obviously, you know, it was just that safety blitz package, you know, we were bringing Glenn and dropping him and, you know, it was so, even myself, like in terms of responsibility of coverage, you know, we would be playing a lot of man coverage, so it would have to put you a guy, you know, put me out on a running back or, you know, pretend, you know, kind of disguising things, you know, trying to making everything look the same, you know, and it's interesting. I was watching Monday Night Football, actually, with the Packers the other night, and, you know, they're talking about cover two, you know, and how you make it look the same, but you make it look, but when you actually execute it, it's different, you know, same type of thing, hey.
So you guys are doing that. You're, you know, really trying to confuse Tracy Ham there, yep, as well. Did you like line up and just kind of like look in his eyes and just see that he was there confusion in his eyes at all when you guys were lining up and just something that he hasn't seen before?
I think the O-line too, because the protection too, you know, I mean, they had some breakdowns, right? You know, they definitely had some breakdowns, but I think we played well too. You know, we executed. I think that was the key too. We executed. And, you know, I kind of, you know, one play that stands out is obviously when Albright picked up the fumble, yeah, and Eddie, you know what? If you watch that play, if you actually watch the play, the full thing, I'm on the edge and, you know, I'm covering Taylor and he's bouncing out and I'm kind of not bouncing out with him, you know, like I'm staying in. I'm trying to make him stay in so he doesn't release. And, So as you know, the play develops and, you know, Eddie comes free and then Dave comes late because he probably might have had some coverage, sort of like I had coverage on Taylor. And if you watch him, he kind of pumps because mm-hmm. He's trying to beat me underneath and inside for a quick release. So when he pumps, he has to pull it back. You know, but those little things, and if you watch the play, you see him have to cut and then try to bubble over top. Well, by then it's too late, right? You know, and I guess I kind of think that, I mean, it was great. It's team defense, right? Everybody has to execute, and everybody, you know, everybody sees the final product, right? But at the end of the day, everybody has to execute so that there's not that opening, you know? Yeah. And I guess, I don't know, I had one other point. I'll throw this one in. So Hector Pache, he's our offensive tackle. So before training camp that year, I was up in Edmonton, and he goes, hey, let's do some one-on-ones. I'm like, no, I don't want to do one-on-ones, no. He finally convinced me to do one-on-ones on Clark Stadium Field. So here I am wearing some Eskimo shoulder pads and a helmet and do one-on-ones to get Hector before training camp. First sack of the game. I don't know if you have watched the Western Finals, first sack of the game. So again, making it look like a blitz and not, you know. Well, I remember I came from depth from about 4 or 5 yards, and I had to kind of timed it up perfectly, a running start, and just kind of clubbed him by. I mean, he's a big guy, eh? He was a big guy, especially a big guy then, eh? You know, I just clubbed him. He just kind of went flying, eh? And first sack against Ham type thing, so. Anyways, things are kind of rolling. But it's funny how things come back, eh? He's bugging me to do one-on-ones. You know what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually think I did that against him on Clark Stadium Field, too.
So you guys go in there, you kick their ass, you send them home, 32-21. How special is that game for you and the team, knowing that you guys were going to the Grey Cup right after that? Because, again, this was a David versus Goliath thing.
It was amazing. It was a high. I mean, I can't even, you know, it's hard to put into words. I mean, it's just, I mean, everybody's dream, right? You know, without a doubt, you know, it was all our goal and dream. And to have it happening, Yeah, it was just a high, you know. I mean, I don't think it's kind of like they say that a lot of times winning, you know, it kind of makes you heal quicker and those types of things, you know, like, you know, psychologists or, you know, doctors. Yeah, I mean, just physiologically because of the hormones your body releases. I mean, you know, there's just that high. And it's those are the type of things that kind of, I don't know, you know, they makes you just feel good, right? And you just can't wait for game day, you know. I mean, the other big part too about, you know, was, you know, obviously, you know, Burgess coming in too, right? After being hurt. I mean, after Kent going down and, you know, he just came in like a champ again, right? You know, type thing, next man up type thing, you know? And that was like that all season kind of really too. Cause you know, when I got hurt, actually, or someone of our guys got hurt, they stuck Jeff Treflin in there. And then he broke his arm or something, but still, he stuck his nose in there.
Now, was there a lot of celebrating after the West final game, or did you guys kind of flip the switch and it was right to Grey Cup preparation and on to the next one?
Oh yeah, I mean we weren't celebrating like crazy because, you know, again, we knew there was another. There's another goal in sight, right?
Nothing like they do in baseball where they
pull the corks after. Nothing like that. No, not even close. Not even close, you know? I mean, you know, just sort of, you know, but we definitely enjoyed, you know, the newspaper articles and the clippings and the cartoons, you know, with the wolf coming out of the sheep, you know, peeling it off and, you know, but yeah, we did, and even before that, you know, just sort of was like, like, you know what, man, we had some pretty good players too, you know, like it was totally like no respect almost, you know, like, you know, it's a small league and you know some of those guys too, right? You know, and it's like, you guys don't put your pants on any different than us. So there was definitely, you know, that feeling, hey, you're not Superman, you know? So anyways.
Did that game... And I'm curious about it. Did that game feel like there was really, you guys really had nothing to lose?
Nothing.
I mean, you weren't supposed to win. You weren't expected to win. It was one of those, you could go in and just play football. And it seemed like that's what happened. There was just no pressure.
And... Yeah, there's the, for sure. But from the year before too, you know, I mean, definitely, you know, didn't want to go in like the game we had against BC the year before. I mean, it was just a total, yeah. We had a lot of turnovers. It was a combo. We let them run the ball against us, you know, and just, yeah, it was a combination of, yeah, we kind of laid an egg on that one. There's no doubt about that. You know, that was really disappointing. Yeah, really. You know, so I think, you know, you do maybe, you kind of do learn from some of those things, you know, from the year before, you know, and we didn't celebrate crazy or nothing like that. No, we were kind of pretty focused about, you know, let's get the job done for sure.
So Grey Cup week, you're in Toronto. Did any of the guys, and feel free to throw names on the bus too and call them all out here. But going into that week, were any of the guys out just kind of enjoying the festivities and just kind of soaking it all in? Or was it just, you know, film work and
it was mostly, I think it was mostly preparation. Cause guys hang out with certain guys, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up in Toronto. I got family there, and I really didn't see them all week till after. You know, kind of wanted to stay focused, you know. I'm there for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and you only get so many, I think, you know, you definitely only get so many chances. You know, you only get so many chances, man. You know, they're precious, hey? You don't, some guys... You know, especially when you first start playing, you don't realize that, you know, those moments, those opportunities come few and far between sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, you just never know, right? You know, you could talk to guys. I remember, when I played in Toronto, played Hamilton, two-point playoff series. At the second half of the second game, we were up like 23 points. We ended up losing by 2 points and not going to the Grey Cup. That was my third year. That was just devastating. You know, that was just devastating, you know. So that was 86. Man, then Hamilton goes and just crushes Edmonton. And we were, I think, 12-4 or something, and we'd beat Edmonton both times that year. We were at halftime talking about Grey Cup. We're going to the Grey Cup.
You really never know.
You never know, man. Exactly. You know, you just never know. So you can't take things for advantage.
So we want to look at the game as a whole. As a defensive player in a game like that where it looked like defense was optional.
Yep.
How do you look at that game? I mean, we look at it as the greatest game ever played.
Right.
But, I mean, you were on the opposite side of the 40 points. How does a defensive player look at a game like that? I mean, you won.
Well, in those kind of games, you know, even in those kind of games, there's still defense, right? And there's some key, you know, some defensive plays which you stop a drive, make him kick three, you know, things like that, or, you know, pinning him deep, making them, you know, punt from their end zone to give our offense maybe some field position, you know, things like that. So those kind of, I guess I'll say victories in a sense, you know, because it was an aerial show, basically, you know. It was definitely an aerial show. You know, at the beginning of the game, we were trying the same type of defense philosophy that we did against Edmonton, and that wasn't working. No, because Kerrigan, he could throw a dart too, boy. Hey, he could get rid of the ball quick.
So yeah. Before we get to the kick, all the big plays, long touchdowns, what stands out to you about that game?
Fairholm. That was one. Well, Chuck, you know, he had a couple big plays, some big sacks, you know. Be on the field for those. Those were some nice plays. I guess another big one was some of the catches, you know. Hey, that one over the shoulder by Fairholm, streaking down the field. I mean, I remember that one with Jeff, eh? You know, the guy hanging all over him. That was a great play, you know. And then what I remember, too, is how it just felt like the game was over before it started. It's weird. You know, it's just weird how fast it feels like it just goes by, just being there. I couldn't believe it was almost, oh, my God, you know, like, it's almost over. You know,
kick up and suddenly you're celebrating a great
happen just like that. It's crazy. That. You know, it was crazy how fast. Thinking, oh my, it's the fourth quarter already? Yeah, it's just nuts.
Now, speaking of that fourth quarter, what were your thoughts when we saw, and we talked about this before before recording, the Tony Champion catch. We consider it one of the greatest catches in a Grey Cup game because of when and how it happened. What were your thoughts as that play unfolded to tie up the game so late in the game?
That was on third down too.
It's unbelievable. I think you could be right. It just reinforced what that game was all about, the greatest game ever. It's like, you know, like it kind of reinforced that whole point, hey? I mean, just a shootout back and forth, like, really, you know, how do you defend that?
I don't think it could have been defended.
You know, kinda, yeah, you know, like you watch a lot of games and go, man, like the defensive guy, like what do you do? Hey, great thrown ball, you know, great. Obviously, hey, turned his body and twisted it and just an amazing catch, hey? So, you know, it was that kind of game. There's no doubt about it, hey? You know?
Opposition or otherwise, do you ever look at plays like that, just admire what the guy on the other team has done? I mean, obviously not in that exact moment, but looking back later.
To a point, yeah, for sure. Hey, you know, I can appreciate, you got to appreciate good football too, you know? You just do. You know what I mean? People do make plays, you know? I mean, it just does happen, so, yeah. But I guess, you know, I look at, like you said, you know, Grey Cup, totally offensive. You know, Western Final, definitely defense, you know, was a little more defensive, had more of an impact, you know, especially playing a guy like Tracy Ham. You know, he could do it all, right? He could run, he could throw. He was pretty good. So for us to, you know, to be able to contain him, it was pretty good, yeah.
So your quarterback, Ken Austin, he gets the ball. Last drive, clutch catches by pretty much an unknown Mark guy who only had a handful of catches the entire season. Set you guys up for the kick. You're on the sidelines. Were you watching it, or were you just so what's going on through your mind here?
My thinking is Kent has the ball. He's gonna drive it. He'll drive it down, put us in field goal range, because that's what he did so many times. Like Kent, I mean, so many times.
There's just no doubt.
Like he could read defenses and he could pick teams apart and move the ball. Totally. I'm serious about that. Like total confidence. You know what? Give Kent the ball. with three chances, you know what? We're going to take a chance every single time, and some pretty good odds that we're going to get in field goal range. And, you know, with Ridgeway as well, you know, he was pretty, you know, pretty clutch, right? So, I mean, I'm serious, you know, I mean, like you said, some of those throws, there was one in front of, towards our bench where he threw it over top of a linebacker and had, kind of had to drop it in. I think it was to, could have been to Ray, to Elgard. I think he had to really drop it in. And then, there, like you said, there's a couple over the middle to Mark Guy. I think James Ellingson might have caught one on that drive as well. Had a great catch, you know. So, I mean, there were some very, I'll say, very beautiful throws, you know, that he, especially the ones you got to feather in and drop into a hole, you know. Yeah, I remember that. So, yeah, I was a spectator enjoying. It's like watching a maestro conduct. You know, he was just like just dropping him in there. And, hey, the guys held on and they made catches, right? You know.
Now we go from one legend to the next with, the, with Dave Ridgeway. He's lining up for that kick. And we, it's now known as the kick. Did you watch?
I was out
did
there.
Did you know?
Oh, I was out there.
I suppose you would have been.
I was a tight end.
Yeah.
That's why I had number 74. Yeah, so I remember when I first kind of got here, it was, they changed, they gave me 49, and then they gave me 74 because they wanted me to have an eligible number as a tight end on the field goal team because they wanted to make sure that we could have somebody run down and cover the kick at least. I think that was kind of the biggest concern. So obviously my, hey, I was more worried about just getting the block. Just get your block, square everything up. No holding penalties, nothing. You know what I mean? Like just get it done, man. You know, but
no. We've talked to Glenn and Dave about this as well too, in the huddle. And were you beside them when Glenn kind of took him aside and said, "Look at that blonde in row one," yeah. Just to kind of get the mind off of it. I'm sure you've.
I've heard the story. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I know. I did a banquet recently in Zenon Park with Ridgeway, me, Narco, and Ridge, and he was talking about that. For sure.
Was that one of those things that just like did anybody else kind of hear that when it
I don't
happened,
know.
Or was it just those two by themselves?
I'll be on. I don't know. I have to get the whole team. I have to get the whole field goal team out there and see if see what they heard. But honestly, I believe them. But I, you know, I kind of do, kind of almost recall, you know, because hey, you know, we're lined up, you know, sort of, and they're kind of maybe sometimes, you know, a little further back type thing, and could have been, you know, definitely that conversation for sure, you know, because you know, obviously we were getting ready to line up, hey, and make sure we just get our blocks. You know, yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So you see your block and kick goes through. What goes through your mind?
I'm just jogging, kind of running down the field, you know, making sure it goes through. And then it's like, holy crap, you know, just won the Grey Cup, you know, and Sky Dome, and it's sold out and Rider Nation. Yeah, it's just the whole stadium is just going nuts. I mean, it was amazing, you know. It's funny, you know, like I just kind of went around, was going around to kind of stands, high-fiving fans and, you know, giving away maybe my sleeves off, you know, my gloves and to fans, you know, I kind of missed a lot of the action on the podium when the Grey Cup was up there. Cause I was too busy on the sideline, you know, kind of hanging out with fans and having a good time, you know, totally. Yeah. So I missed a lot of that stuff up on the stage when they had the Grey Cup up there, you know, so whatever, it's okay. You know, had a good time with the fans hanging out and, you know, those were some good memories.
Now, what was the post-game party like? You just won the Grey Cup, you get to the locker room. Did anybody in particular get, you know, get a little crazy?
I think everybody got crazy. Everybody got crazy. It was just like, it was, yeah, everybody got crazy in the locker room. It was pretty fun, man. It was just, a lot of, you know what, you play a game, I mean, you're still on a high, like, I mean, you're just excited, and hey, we had the champagne, and everything, hey, and so that would have been like a bit like the world, I guess, like winning the pennant, I guess, sort of thing, like they do after the baseball games, you know, it was amazing, you know, and then we had a post-game function at one of the hotels where everybody's, you know, families, it was massive, you know, it was, and that even, but that seemed, then it got subdued, eh? Because you guys were tired, eh? from the high a little bit, you know. It was really kind of calm and quiet with family and friends and coaches and the team. Yeah. Because I think we burnt ourselves on the field and in the locker room.
So local guys on the team, you know, Bob Poley or, you know, Roger Aldag on the team as well, yeah. too. Grew up following the Riders and then knowing what the Riders were all about. You not necessarily having that same connection with the team growing up. When did you realize what it meant, not just to you guys mm-hmm. as a team, but to, you know, holy crap, how big is this for the province of Saskatchewan?
Well, I figured out probably for sure towards the end of 87, you know, kind of towards the end of the season going, this isn't Toronto. You know what I mean? Like this, you know, everybody knows and everybody cares about the football team. You know, it took me a little bit. You know, because I'd been bouncing around so much. I guess part of me felt, there was a little part of me probably that felt that who knows, I might not even be here next year type thing. You know, that because, you know, you'd been going from, you know, Toronto to the LA camps and then Montreal and now you're here. And before that I was just, played in Ottawa and they traded me to Calgary and then Toronto. And so, yeah, there was a lot of bouncing around. But towards the end of the season, 87, kind of real, you know, because we lost a lot of close games. There's a lot of close games we lost. We were a way better team that our record showed, you know, but those are kind of the pieces kind of coming together, right? You know, I think Bill Baker was the GM, you know, so he was trying to maybe get a few more guys to play like him. we can't clothesline it when we were playing.
That's not allowed so much anymore.
No, but when he played, he could clothesline and head slap. We couldn't do neither of those when we were playing. But, you know, he is a big part of putting that team together for sure, you know, from 87, 88, right? So, you know, kind of thank him and some of the assistant coaches for bringing me here, you know, to become a part of something that's this great. You know what I mean? Like, really, to become part of something that, you know, kind of in football, Saskatchewan football history, it'll go down forever. You know, that team, you know, and all those guys, you know. So, yeah, so towards 87, I really kind of, it's funny, you can notice the excitement or the energy level, even in the city, from winning and losing. You could feel it. You know, and it's still like that here too, right? You could feel that how, you know, it pumps the province up, you know, and sometimes, you know, kind of can bring it down when we're winning or losing, right? So it is important.
Now, looking back on it for you, where does that 1989 season rank for you personally?
It's number one, for sure. Yeah. I mean, hey, that's what the goal is, win a championship, right? And all those guys on the team too, you know, and all the characters and all the good guys, you know. I mean, I wish could have won another Grey Cup with guys like Ron Getz and a bunch of those guys because, you know, they were good guys too, you know. It would have been great to have, you know, we still have a lot of good memories, but you know what? You want to win that championship, hey? You know, we lost in 97. No one remembers second.
You guys were leading in that game, though, too. So
I know. I mean, we should have been behind.
Yeah, exactly.
And then come back.
You guys scored that field goal right off the start.
Exactly.
It's all downhill from
there. It's all downhill. Like, see, after halftime. Yeah, that's when things went down.
Doug Flutie in his prime. There's not.
Yeah, that could be another podcast. We could talk about that. That could be another podcast.
Now, again, just the 89 game, greatest Grey Cup game ever played. Do you ever look back on that, just knowing that, and just think about it and smile, and just, I was a part of the greatest game ever played?
Yeah. It's nice to hear it. It's nice to other people. You know, when they do talk about it and bring it up and it's ranked as one of the, you know, greatest game ever or one of the top few or, you know, type of thing. And it's awesome to, you know what, to have been a part of that game. It's great, you know, because it's like we're doing tonight. It's not just that game, but, you know, I guess for us as a player, you know, it's kind of, it's not just, it was the season, but it was also, you know, the Western Final as well, you know. In the semifinal, and because each one has its own little story, you know, in a sense, you know, they really do. It's kind of funny how it is, eh?
Well, you look back at that 89 game, and as great as that game was, it doesn't happen without the defense in the Western Final. And you were a big part of that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was amazing, you know. And, you know, and we just, and I guess the other part, too, is when you see those guys later, you know. You know, when you sort of see those guys again, you know, and I think any football team is like that, you know, get those same group of guys that were part of winning a championship, you know, with the Riders 2007, 13. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I see, you know, those guys like, you know, Chris Best and McCullough and hey, a lot younger and stuff like Durant and Wes. And you know what? You know, I was in our alumni lounge not too long ago, and, you know, I see those guys together, you know. You know, they were, that was kind of their, you know, their group of guys, right? You know, it's kind of neat to watch, you know. And likewise, you know, I think that when I still stay in touch with a bunch of the guys, too. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm glad. It's a pretty exciting to have been a part of something like that. Like, you know, plus the ring.
Of course.
Plus the ring. Hey, you know, it was the gaudiest ring. And hey, you know, for 89, hey, you know, I mean, Poli, Aldag, and Richie were the designers of that one. Yeah. So it's good we scored that many points because 43 diamonds.
There you go.
Should have scored 50.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time talking about the 1989 Grey Cup and the season leading up. Thank you for doing that, and thanks for everything you've done for the Riders in your career.
Thanks, guys.
There's Dan Rasevich on the Piffles Podcast, episode 100, talking about the 1989 Grey Cup. Steve, still to me, the greatest Grey Cup game ever played, possibly the greatest football game ever played. That game had it all. It was fantastic.
I don't think there's a lot of argument in the CFL community about number one Grey Cup game. That was just pure excitement, pure fun football from opening whistle to the kick. And after. I mean, that was just fun.
You get big plays at you get the Dan Farthing touchdown. You get the Jeff Fairholm long touchdown. You get Tony Champion's incredible catch to tie the game on broken ribs, nonetheless. I still think that might be the greatest catch ever, just for all the drama that was on. It was third down, had to score a touchdown to tie the game. Broken ribs, falling back, catching it, landing on those ribs, holding on to the ball. Just fantastic. Then, you know, an unsung hero, Mark Guy, who had, what, 9 catches that entire season? I forget what it was, but he wasn't used much at all. Had 2 or 3 on the final drive, setting the Riders up for the kick. Dave Ridgway, of course, we've talked to Dave Ridgway and Glenn Suter about the kick as well. And Glenn saying, hey, Dave, look at that blonde in row 2 or something like that. Just to take his mind off the kick and just everything about that. Just a fantastic game. And, yeah, a little bit of bias because our team won, but overall, that was just an incredible game. Had everything, and I mean, we were just young when that game happened, but I could tell you pretty much everything about that game because we've watched it so many times.
Well, as Rider fans growing up, it was either watch 1966 or 1989 until 07 came along.
And there was no YouTube to watch 66 back then.
As much as I would love to watch the 66 Grey Cup in HD, it's not going to happen. 89, that was just, I could sit down and watch that over and over again, and you see something new every time, and it's just a quality football game.